Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is Three and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. Everybody do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Monday edition of the program. It's Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford. And we have made it, boys. It is SEC Media Days from Hoover, Alabama, signaling the unofficial start of the college football season. At least,
talking. I mean, not really. Like, I mean, we don't get to talk about it today.
Why not?
Well, they're not going to say anything while we're here. You know what I mean?
But it's the day.
I mean, right. So, but it's
stuff's happening today.
But not for us, is what I'm saying.
Oh. Well, but it's still the day.
Yeah. Just not for us.
But, yeah, July 15th, the start of SEC Media Days.
Later. Yeah. Agree.
I was so fired up for it, too. So fired up.
I believe he had a cat with him. A friend of mine coming here. I believe he had a pet cat.
No? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? Bueller?
It's Men in Black. Hedger.
Really? Okay.
The guy who the bug goes in his body.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a friend of mine. I believe we carried her. I think he had a pet cat. I don't remember anybody with a pet cat. I need sugar water. He said things like that. It's fine. It's not for everyone, I suppose.
Yeah.
Just one of the biggest movies that year. It's fine.
So are you excited about SEC Media Days?
No, not today. I mean, I'm glad they're here to play devil's advocate to myself.
Yeah.
It is the unofficial, official start to football season. We get 2 weeks of talking season, and then we get fall camp starting around the country. It's always good. Then we start to actually learn about football teams. So that's good. All right, good show. Good job, everyone. See you tomorrow after SEC Media Days.
Jeremy Pruitt speaks tomorrow at 1:30. We'd be excited about that. Are you more excited to hear at SEC Media Days? I know none of it's really that exciting. It's just kind of a marker. It gives you at least something to then start debating about the teams and the actual, you know, games that will matter that are still a ways away. But as you mentioned, practice right around the corner. But, dude, I feel like I'm more excited just for the whole thing because somebody might say something interesting than necessarily my coach. Like, I really don't want my coach to steal the headlines necessarily, but somebody might say something that's funny or that takes a shot at somebody or that's really embarrassing. And I definitely don't want that to be my coach. So, for me, today isn't our day. And as you mentioned, kind of a big downer, by the way, I was trying to sell it, that no one really does anything until like 2:30. That may even be Central Time down in Hoover, Alabama. But
probably. It's okay. We got Wednesday. We'll come in and talk about what Pruitt said Wednesday. We'll have it all to ourselves, you know, for the most part. So that's good.
Today it's Dan Mullen.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah, to start things off.
I actually, the secret about myself, I actually enjoy / pain watch Dan Mullen at SEC Media Days because he's absolutely awful and ridiculous and so cringy. He'll probably, I called it last year, he'll pop out some cool new Jordan shoes that Nike's made for Florida, and he'll talk about how awesome he is and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I can't wait until they start asking him about all the transfers and bad recruiting. Like, he's going to look like a frog on a hot plate up there. It's going to be bad. Like, he's going to be very, well, you don't have anything wrong in Florida. Everything's just fine. Brick by brick. Oh, God.
Frog on a hot plate.
It's the pride of who we are. Oh, no. God, but Jones 2.0.
He'll have his new Jordans on, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he'll have those on, and that's all he'll want to talk about. But the reality is he's going to have to answer a lot of questions about recruiting, a lot of questions about his current team and why everybody's wanting to get the bleep out of Bleepville. And I can't wait for it.
He's taking Felipe Franks with him.
He should. Felipe Franks had a big old year last year. Felipe Franks, he went from goat to hero, especially in that South Carolina game. He was getting booed, and then he turns around, scores the game winner, and tells the crowd to shush.
Boy. His own crowd.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes a home crowd needs to be put in their place. Just saying. Sometimes you just gotta tell everyone to just be quiet and calm down. Hey, things aren't as bad as you think. It's not that big of a deal. We got this. Don't overreact. Kind of like yesterday when Niedermeyer told Tennessee fans, shush, on the Henry Toto stuff. Just like that. We'll get to that later. Kind of a big deal. Maybe. Maybe not.
Okay, well, I don't know why, but the article I was reading here had this stuff out of order. Apparently, Barry Odom goes at 11:30.
He's the starter. Is he first up then?
This says he's at 11:30, and then Orgeron and Mullen are both at 2:30. But it has Mullen first.
That's impossible. Although I would love to see them fight over the podium.
It has 2:30 to 6:30, so I assume that means Mullen goes first at 2:30, and then Orgeron follows. It's like a doubleheader basketball game type of deal.
Is Sankey leading off with like a State of the Union thing?
I'm sure he is. This I got
good on them for putting schedule. Good on them though putting Odom first. Just allow all the people trying to get to Hoover today some extra time.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, we don't really need to be there for what Greg Sankey says because he doesn't take that many questions, and we definitely don't have to be there for Odom. So now, if you were making the drive from another market to Hoover this morning, you didn't have to get up early because what are you going to miss? Barry Odom? Don't worry about that. I'll get it later. You're Miss Carl Odom? The other guy from King of the Hill? Dup, 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 dup. I can't wait to see what he has to say. Yeah, we're really excited about this season in which we can accomplish absolutely nothing. Kind of like every other season in Missouri football history.
Yeah, I don't know why it's that different, really.
It's got to be tough for him, though. This really wasn't his fault. I mean, he was on staff, technically, so maybe it was. But Missouri, obviously the postseason ban, yeah, put him up first. They should have banned him from SEC Media Day. Actually, that would have been more like a favor. They should have given him two slots of time. Like, okay, Barry, as punishment, you have to fill two times the amount that you're used to. Get on up there.
I'm really confused because everyone else's schedule has Dan Mullen, Ed Orgeron, Barry Odom listed in that order. So maybe Odom does go last. I don't know. But the only one with times had him at 11:30. They don't even do an 11:30 today, do they? Makes no sense.
I don't know. You're the one looking at the schedule.
I'm just saying it typically in past years.
Man, you're not good with the schedule. Sheesh.
I can't help it. Come on, there's no good information.
Step it up. I know it's Monday, but gaw. I'm just kidding. It's always very confusing. I feel like this is the case.
Well, they have the different rooms. You've been there.
This is the case. This is the case every year. They don't do a good job of explaining the schedule of events. Mm-hmm. And then you get down there and there's changes. And the only good thing is all the free food. And Dr. Pepper must have me about 15 or 16 Dr. Peppers. Mm. It's the official sponsor of the SEC. Ice Cube. Dr. Pepper, help.
Our own Trey Wallace will be down there.
Good for everything. Trey. Good. You sent him home. That's nice.
Yep.
Bama. Bama guy. Tuscaloosa Trey, they call him. War Eagle Wallace, I've heard. Rainsville Roy.
I think it's funny how you can have both those nicknames at the same time.
It's kind of perfect.
That takes talent.
Yeah, it takes something.
He's from Mobile, if you're keeping score. Florida, LSU, Missouri. I don't know. That's
Mobile
what the SEC,
Maury.
That's what the SEC says on their website. I'm going to go with that. Dan Mullen up first. It doesn't mention anything about Sankey, but he always talks first, so I'm going
to
assume.
Hey, guys, always glad to be here. Love our SEC
thing.
Media. Just love you guys and what you do for the game. Got my new Jordans on. A lot of people wanted to ask about those. Dan, literally no one wanted to ask about those. Yeah, they're new Jordans. Got them custom made from Nike. Pretty cool stuff. Got a lot of good things going on at Florida.
No one asked you, Dan.
Got some good players, most of which are gone.
I can't wait for Ed Orgeron to go through the whole depth chart. My favorite part of SEC Media Day.
He's amazing. We should like power rank what every coach does best at SEC Media Days. Ed Orgeron's ability to reel off stats about his roster, names, without looking at any notes, sensational. Barry Odom's ability to try to be funny and not be funny whatsoever, so much that it's like Dan Mullen and it's very cringy and you just feel bad watching him.
Barry Odom's so bad, I can't even remember him doing anything. So you can remember him trying to be funny. I can't even remember that.
Yeah, no, he does it every year. He comes up and tries to make a joke and no one laughs. And you can tell he just immediately is like, why did I try to do that?
In fact, when you say
he's
the
like, well,
name,
our team,
when you say the name Barry Odom, I picture Mark Stoops. That's how bad it is for Barry Odom.
Barry? Frank. It's Frank Odom.
Whatever.
Matt Luke's,
Little Davey Odom.
Matt Luke's ability to do an entire day of media at SEC Media Days and me not even realize he was there is it's amazing, really.
Well, Jeremy Pruitt got a great spot because he follows Matt Luke.
Oh, yes.
Like, you don't want to follow Orgeron.
It's like going on after Banya. Hell yeah. That's what you want. You don't want to
follow Saban. You don't want to follow Orgeron.
Who's after Jeremy?
Jimbo.
Oh, good. I mean, don't get me wrong. Texas A&M will have some media there, but being before or after Saban, really being on the same day or the same session as Nick Saban is just a joke. It's like the whole lobby starts to smell really funny, and you've got all these extra people coming in.
Yeah, they're back in Hoover this year. Everybody knows where they camp out.
Do you see where they might go next year?
No. Nashville?
Nashville.
Really?
Yeah, looking like it. Probably going to announce it this week. How about that?
I mean, Nashville is a great location for these things.
Sign me up. We should go ahead and just plan our takeover of Nashville now. Yeah. Radio Row at the... my guess is they do it at the convention center. That seems to make the most logical sense.
What if Jeremy Pruitt just has a monster year this year, and then it's in Nashville next year? Yeah.
That'd be nice for him. Be nice for Tennessee. Unfortunately, well, this is like a homecoming for him of sorts. You know, he's from Alabama too. Whoa! I didn't don't take it the wrong way. I'm just saying he's from Alabama.
You threw Trey under the bus. I thought maybe
I didn't throw Trey under the bus.
Tuscaloosa Jeremy or something.
I didn't throw Trey under the bus. I just said what his nicknames are. Mm-hmm. We don't call him Bama Jeremy. Think about all the old high school buddies he has down there.
That's
He knows everybody. This is good for him. He'll probably feel more comfortable. I am curious to see how. I thought he did a really nice job last year, frankly. For it being his first trip, I thought he handled the podium and the questions and all that very, very well, especially for a guy who's he's not in love with himself as far as being in the spotlight. Jimbo Fisher's ability to go down there and speak literally 1,000 words per second, but somehow be perfectly understood, that's pretty good. I am curious to see what rule or issue Nick Saban attacks. That's what he always does.
Transfers, think. Trying to limit the damage
Possibly. He'll have something. Maybe the transfers, the free agency stuff. That's a good one.
Maybe this California law where they want to start allowing players to make money off their
image and likeness.
So he might attack the
likeness is a good one. He could go after likeness.
He might try and protect amateurism.
It's possible.
You know, the NCAA came out and said, California, to do that, we might just kick all your schools out.
The Pac-12's like, thank God. We might be off the hook. If we lose them, there's no way we can keep the other teams. They'll go somewhere else. Oh, my gosh.
We'll have a nice, good person to blame when we go bankrupt.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we would have. We had a plan. Unfortunately, all the Cali schools got kicked out of the conference, and nothing we could do. Stinks. But, yeah, what does Nick Saban go after? What's his plan? Mark Stoops, I don't know what Mark Stoops does, except sweat a lot. Some guys are there and do a good job. I think Mark Stoops, Gus Malzahn, surprisingly Will Muschamp. Like, he doesn't have any issues when he goes up there. No one has, like, a thing.
Jeremy Pruitt, it was last year where we tune in ready for all the ites, and he completely cut it out of his vocabulary.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's like he had been going to speech school.
It's because he had. I mean, he's been in the media training. They were like, hey, you said I 37 times in your initial press conference. Maybe we can cut that back down. I think he only said it once. Maybe once.
I don't think he said it all.
Not in the monologue.
Pretty good.
But yeah, so that starts today.
So today is Dan Mullen, Ed Orgeron, Barry Odom, regardless of what.
Have you guys seen the video of Ed Orgeron tripping on the beach?
No.
Is that him? Is it really him?
Kind of look like him.
It doesn't kind of look like him. It looks like him, but way fatter than I think Ed Orgeron is.
Chasing after his grandkid.
Kid, yeah, yeah. It looks just like him, but I don't. Ed Orgeron's obviously a big guy. He's like barrel chested, but I don't think he has that big of a gut. That gut on that guy was massive. But
Orgeron has gotten smaller the last few
years.
That's
what I thought. I think he's going the other way. But everyone's saying, wow, look at Ed Orgeron tripping on the beach.
I think
the guy's trunks are purple, so you think, oh, yeah, I'm really my... Yeah. Just sand.
Quicksanded.
Sand monster reaches
and
up and grabs...
And he was sunburnt, too. You know that had to
Well,
hurt.
We'll see today. We'll know immediately.
You compare. Put the color match up. See if it's... Remember Jim McAway when he rolled in?
Oh, God, yes.
With the raccoon
You know,
eyes?
I finally figured out what those were.
What?
I think those were goggles. Like diving goggles, like a diving mask.
Really?
You know, he likes sharks and stuff. Uh-huh. So I thought maybe he was down there watching some action before his foray into, you know, having relations with a shark, which is what people said. I mean, watch this video real quick.
Let's run the front. We don't know if it's him or not. Oh.
I mean, it looks like him, but I don't think he's that big. There's no
way.
Not
as big as I thought, the way you were describing it. But
that's a big old belly. I just don't think it's him. I hope it's not him. It'd be embarrassing. You'd hate to see it.
Eh. Orgeron would just own it. That's he doesn't care.
Yeah, put it down at the beach. Run after my grandson. He told me he had gumbo in his pocket. Eskigo do Bobby Boucher on quarterback run. Rebidu do Bobby Boucher.
Tomorrow with Jeremy Pruitt, it's Kirby Smart, Matt Luke.
Yes.
Jeremy Pruitt.
I forgot about Kirby Smart being there.
Jimbo
that's
Fisher.
That's a good battle.
After that symbol, that's the,
they're
that's
punching,
the fight
they're fighting. Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, after last year, it would make sense to put Pruitt and Smart on the same day because they got beef now.
Yeah?
Yeah. They stole a couple of recruits. We stole a pretty good transfer. All the, you know, Murray talk and the other quarterback and David Pollock. Oh, well, Jeremy Pruitt, this and that. And he was mean to Mark Rick.
Jeremy Pruitt showing up at Mark Rick's house on a Sunday.
Ready to whoop his ass. I would kill to see that if that's true. If that's a true story, I need, the camera tape from the house. Because, you know, Rick had him. Showing up on a Sunday. Mark, get out here. I just came from the high school. I'm ready to whoop your ass.
If you don't do something about Schottenheimer or something.
Yeah. Why don't we have a 100-yard practice facility, Mark? Jeremy, I'm with the Lord today. Hell no, you're not. We got to win this ball game. I got to get my defense some rest, and your offense stinks.
Is that the year he went to Bauta in the Florida game?
Yeah, Bauta. Yeah, the punter.
Yeah, just imagine Mark Richt explaining that decision to the whole staff as the defensive guys are
no
in the
wonder
corner.
Pruitt got out of there, man.
Got defensive guys in the corner.
Mark
like,
Richt
what
to Miami
the F are we
proved
doing?
That he didn't know he'd lost his touch. He was just ready
he was just
to
done.
You know, go lead a Bible study or something, which is fine. More power to you.
Yeah, I
kind
mean,
of kind of rolled over on Miami a little bit though. It's kind of a bad situation. They're good now. They got DF.
I think Mark Richt's best quality was just getting a bunch of guys together, making them feel good about each other, and then he used all the Bobby Bowden like drills and stuff to make them look like a pretty decent football team. But
good recruiter.
At the end of the day, yeah, well, that's what I mean. The culture and the recruiting always good, but at the end of the day, not a football guy. Kirby Smart. Is it
Kirby about that fake punt?
Yeah.
I mean, he's already had to answer that question numerous times, but I'd like to get a recap from old Curb about the the fake punt call.
You know, this stuff just gets worse and worse. I mean, you got second 26. Now you got the fake punt. Like if they
fourth and 11 and second 26.
Things
man.
Come in threes. If he gets one more,
ooh.
I mean, Kirby, how do you expect to choke away the SEC championship this year? That'd be a great question.
That would probably get Kirby to leave the stage and actually choke that man or woman. I'd be there for it. I'm here to see some drama, not involving Jeremy Pruitt, of course.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like it's
I
actually
need something. That year that Nick Saban like undressed Feinbaum in front of the bathroom, that was incredible. I mean he was ready to choke slam little Feinbaum, and I didn't think Feinbaum did anything wrong, other than you know say something that wasn't Nick Saban, you're a god when they were right. on the SEC network broadcast stage. But, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. A lot of this stuff is kind of pointless. Like you said, talking season. But maybe we'll get a couple of squirmy moments or a bad quote or, I don't know, players never seem to say much that interests me. I'm not even really sure I care about who's going, except for us, because Darrell Taylor, he's got a one-liner ready to go. I can feel it.
Is he going to drop that?
He's going to create another T-shirt. You just watch.
Right as they're all standing up to leave,
he's gonna be like,
he gets a step line.
I'm gonna get 15 sacks this year. I'm gonna be like, told you.
Then he leans back to the mic. Oh, and by the way, we go
with it. All right, get out of here. Cut the mic. Cut your mic off, Darrell Taylor. Yeah, I'm here for that. But outside of SEC Media Days, of which we will not get to talk about at all today, because it won't start until later, there was some interesting developments over the weekend. NBA Summer League for all your Tennessee Volunteers has come to an end. That is a thing that happened on Saturday for the Big Four.
Yeah.
You know, someone said that on the show.
You predicted a Vol final. So
you did. Vol versus Vol.
Of course, Billy, you're trying to say that you said it on the show while predicting the opposite. Get out of here. You can't do that. You can't say everything that might happen and then say, well, I did say that. Like, yeah, we know. It was possible.
I said if it was anything like last year.
Oh, yeah, he did.
But then you predicted Miami and Celtics in round two. You predicted the Celtics to be the champion.
I let my heart get in the way.
And you predicted Grant Williams to be MVP.
He should have. Still.
No. No. Is that how this works?
Williams made 7 threes in his 5 games with the Celtics this summer league. You know how many he made all of last year?
What are you doing?
I was just giving a stat. 15. He made almost half in 5 games.
Fewer minutes, too.
Yep,
just FYI.
Yeah, MVP.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. I'm trying to set up a teaser, Billy. We don't have to get into it right now.
Yeah.
Golly. Mister, I predicted what happened even though I said the opposite. Also, there was some news about a Tennessee freshman linebacker.
Oh, buddy.
And this thing, ooh, it ran wild.
Yep.
I mean, it was rampant. I stood back because these things seem to happen. A drop of blood hits the water. Sharks come a-swirling. I stood back and I said, no. Let's wait and get to the bottom of this. So we'll have some news on Henry Tuvotuwo, hopefully. Maybe much ado about nothing. Maybe some scary stuff possible. Oh, yeah, and beer in Neyland Stadium has apparently hit a roadblock or a speed bump. So lots to be excited about today. All your Vols are out. A linebacker may want to transfer, and the beer's not going to be here in time. Where's Smokey and the Bandit when you need them?
Stay tuned for that. We do have news here at Fan Run Radio. We now have the Next Door Home Group Hotline, brought to you by Eli Corum and his group over at Keller Williams. They've been the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years and want to get the job done with the most money back in your pocket. Pride themselves in a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience, and they use really effective marketing programs in the real estate industry to try and get that money to stay in your pocket and not go out to fees and into, of course, the price of your new place. Negotiation, customer service skills, unmatched in the real estate market. Check them out at nextdoorhomes.com. That's nextdoorhomes.com. It's the Next Door Home Group, proud sponsors of the Next Door Home Group Hotline. And as we get into these next topics and you want to join the program, 865-546-8200 is the number. It's Eli Corum with the Next Door Home Group of Keller Williams. We'll come right back with more Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Houston mentioned it. A lot did happen over the weekend. We roll into SEC Media Days. Hoover, Jeremy Pruitt talks tomorrow. They have three coaches going today. Of course, we've got Trey Wallace down there for you to cover Jeremy Pruitt's appearance and snoop around, see if you can get anything good. But one of the weirdest things that... I guess, as everyone's excited about college football coming back.
I'm blaming you.
Me?
You.
Me?
Every time you put somebody that we've never seen in a Tennessee uniform in your starting lineup and start to hype them up, they want to transfer.
It's not
this
true.
Is called the Hodges effect.
This is not true at all.
DJ Burns, you had him starting at the five. He now plays for Winthrop. Wofford. Which one?
Winthrop.
Winthrop.
Yeah.
Where's Wofford?
Spartanburg. Winthrop's in Rock Hill, where he's from.
They're both in South Carolina?
Yes.
Oh, good. It makes me feel less stupid. Nailed it.
Honest mistake.
You caused the DJ Burns transfer, and you apparently caused an uproar yesterday. July 13th, Henry Toa, I don't know. He's not.
First time was correct.
I don't think so. I think we need. I think I need to hear him say it.
That's why I say it that way, because that's the way he says it.
I think you misheard him. I think we need clarification. Right. Anyway.
I don't know if it matters anymore.
Anyway, this was Saturday. Hard, comma. No, that's not. Restart. This was Saturday. Hard, question mark. Not a comma. Yes, worth it, comma, praying on it. Hard, yes, worth it, praying on it. Worth it, comma, not worth it, question mark. So then there, the rumors started, the message boards lit up, the beacons.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody runs around. What's going on? Is he unhappy? He's been here like a month, maybe a little more. So everyone immediately said, uh-oh, that's it, he's transferring. He's probably transferring. Let's see what his recent likes are on Twitter. That'll give us a good indication of what he's thinking, because everyone knows what you like on Twitter is a definite indication as to what you're thinking. So you go back to 15 hours ago, and he likes a GIF of a Husky. Before that, he likes a GIF of him high-fiving some fans when he took his official visit to Washington. Huskies. He liked a tweet from some buddies of his that said, come join us, brudda. And it's a bunch of, I guess, maybe his former teammates and friends who now play for Washington. He liked another GIF about Washington. He liked a tweet that said, prayers up for my dog, Henry Toto. And then there was two purple hearts and a husky. Picture of Seattle, he liked that. Alex Trebek in a Washington Huskies hat, he liked that. Purple rain. Lots of Husky stuff. So everyone said, oh, God, he's transferring to Washington. If you remember, his final three in recruiting were Alabama, Tennessee, and Washington.
Yeah.
The Huskies. West Coast. Remember, he played at De La Salle?
He's a California guy. Washington, much closer to the family. And here's the deal. Polynesian culture. Very, very, very family-oriented. Super family-oriented. This is why Tua Tagovailoa's family moved to Tuscaloosa with him when he went to Alabama. Because they're very tight-knit. It's a very tight-knit family system in Polynesian culture. So my guess is it is probably quite difficult for Henry to be away from his family for the first time in a long time, for a long time. So yeah, he's probably a little homesick, probably missing mom and dad. In fact, David Ubbin of The Athletic wrote an article covering his recruitment that said his family, his father, almost packed the family up and moved to Knoxville when Henry came to college because he probably realized it's going to be pretty tough if he leaves. Worked for Tua, might work for Henry. Henry said, no, Dad, don't do that. I've got this. I can handle it. My guess is, yeah, he's probably a little homesick. His coach at De La Salle, though, was reached out to. I think it was David Ubbin again.
Yep.
Said he's not leaving. He's staying at Tennessee. But everybody started to panic. Austin Price of AllQuest.com said, I talked to him last month at camp. He seems like he likes it here. But, yeah, he probably is a little bit homesick. Not too much to worry about. My guess is he misses his family. But I think they're supposed to be making a visit soon. Maybe that'll help. It's also, there's like two prongs to the tight-knit family. So one of it is you're tight. You don't want to leave. The other is you don't want to do anything that's going to embarrass your family, dishonor your family, bring shame to your family. My guess is his father would rather move his family to Knoxville than allow Henry to transfer. Just saying. I don't think this is a really big deal. I think a new kid is homesick, being away from home for the first time, probably ever. This is probably the first time he's ever really been away from his family, especially for an extended period of time. Seems only natural that he'd miss them a little bit, especially given, again, the family dynamic in Polynesian culture. But boy, yesterday people were in complete meltdown mode. We're going to lose our number one player from last year's class, just like we lost the number one player from the previous year's class in J.J. Peterson.
Well, he's still here.
I know. I'm saying you lost him for last year, basically, because he was fat. No, you can find him. He's very easy to find. He's huge. He was, anyway. But anyway, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I think a lot of people wanted to make it a big deal, and I understand. I understand the fear. I understand the, oh, God, we're Tennessee. Here it comes again. Here comes the next thing that's going to make us feel like Vol fans. I'm not too worried about this. I think you get through the rest of this month, then football starts, really takes his mind off of that. Family comes in and visits. They're going to be coming in for games and stuff. I think everything's going to be just fine. If I had to guess, now I'm... This is not inside information. This is just understanding how the family dynamic in Polynesian culture, and I'm not saying I'm an expert. I'm just saying I understand it at least a little bit. But you think about the Polynesian players Tennessee has had that have been successful. I can think of three that we've had that played a lot, two of which were pretty successful here. Those two players were JUCO guys. So they had already spent time away from their family. They had kind of acclimated to not being around. That was Jesse Mahalona and Albert Tuina. JT Mapu came for 2 years, wasn't very good as a freshman and a sophomore. Then he went on his two-year mission, came back, and as a junior and senior had pretty good seasons. As they mature and get used to not being around their family, they settle in, become pretty good players. I think this is just the case of the guy's never been away from his family, and it's a little bit different. And this isn't L.A. to Seattle. This isn't, you know, hopping on a plane for an hour and 10 minutes. It's cross country. It's a really big deal. You can't go see him on the weekends, if you're Henry T. So, my guess is they'll work something out, he and the family. Maybe they move, maybe it's more visits, maybe, I don't know. Whatever. But I look at this, and I'm not ready to press the panic button, certainly not yet.
I would 100% agree with you, especially if the only tweet was the hard tweet. Like, there's... Sometimes people freak out when somebody says something's hard. Like, something can be hard and still not be a huge deal. Like, you can be like, man, that was a hard workout today. Not a big deal. Like, you hope the workouts are hard. We talked about ad nauseum about how Butch Jones didn't make anything hard that made your team suck. Like, you want the workouts to be hard. You want the transition to be...
I don't think that's the kind of hard he's...
I don't either. Hmm. I'm just saying, in general, freaking out over one tweet would be kind of... Like, there's just... Could it be a big deal? Sure. But one tweet's not going to tell you everything about a situation. Right.
Bear just texted me with a really good point. Albert Tuina and Jesse Mahalona did have family in the area. I forgot about that, like aunts and uncles and stuff. How do we get some Henry T. aunts and uncles to Knoxville?
The difference here, though,
you should hire some of them,
was all of the likes. And it wasn't just Washington Husky friend tweets that he was liking. He liked a tweet that said, transfer portal, like, brother, and had a phone emoji in it. That's what's weird to me. Like, that's the weird one.
And there was a lot of them.
Yeah. And I mean, Doug, whatever his name is, Coach Peterson at Washington.
Chris
Peterson. It's like I'm doing your Barry Odom bit now on accident. He had tweeted.
Chris Peterson's a little better, I think.
Chris Peterson had tweeted, you know, stuff from like different days. They were all liked. Like, Chris Peterson's not his buddy. Like, that's not his friend. So that's weird. Now, it may be nothing, and I tend to agree with you, Houston. It probably is nothing, but that's still very, very strange.
I'm not saying it's nothing. I'm just saying it's nothing that's going to freak me out. It's something.
Okay.
I'm just not ready to freak out just yet.
I do have his latest two likes. Would you like for me to read them?
Yeah.
It's some random dude, I guess. I don't know if it's I don't know. Doesn't matter. Because he liked these two tweets. In other words, all he was saying was, this guy replied to Niedermeyer's tweet, which I'll let you read or talk about that one in a second. But this guy replied to Niedermeyer's tweet, kind of trying to quash the whole thing, and said, in other words, all he was saying was, it's hard right now, but it's part of football. When he overcomes the obstacles in his way, which I know he can, it'll all be worth it in the end. So this is a fan tweeting, replying to Niedermeyer. Obviously, Henry is looking at the replies of Niedermeyer's tweet about him, and he liked that tweet. So if he was completely out and on his way to Seattle, like,
he's not liking that.
He's not liking that one. We'll come back. We'll tell you what Niedermeyer tweeted. We got to hit a break and how that kind of plays into the whole drama with Henry Toa Toa.
Oh.
Final segment, hour one next. Final segment, hour one. Just chewing on this Henry Toa Toa situation. Would you like to read the Niedermeyer tweet, or I have it right here?
Go for it.
Brian Niedermeyer, 12 hours ago. I mean, a guy goes on vacation for 3 days.
Talking about himself.
A kid tweets one motivational tweet, then the entire Twitter world loses its mind. Just chill, hashtag VolNation.
Yeah. Moose has got it under control.
All right. And Moose, I trust.
All right. Good. Glad we're done. I just got to ask a question. I think it's a fair one. Someone said, is he not going to start? You think that's why he's upset? He hadn't even practiced yet. Let's not forget. He came in the summer. He wasn't an early enrollee, so he didn't go through spring ball. That's probably why this, you know, you're hearing about this now. It's because he got here a month ago, however long ago it was, 45 days, whatever. And this is that weird, so like you first get to a place and there's the newness, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's new, so you're learning. Now you kind of settle into your routine, but there's no football. There's limited time with your coaching staff. It's this slight lull before things ramp up here in about 2 weeks. So yeah, he's got a lot of time to think, to probably overthink, to miss people, to think about things back home. And then you've got all these Washington idiots tweeting him stuff. I'm sure he's got friends that are texting him stuff, too. Dude, just transfer. Everybody else is doing it. Just transfer. I don't know why he would do that. He'd have to go sit out a year. Be a very sad situation.
I mean, he might have liked the portal tweet just as kind of a, well, yeah, that's funny. Bam. You know.
Yeah. Except he replied to it with prayer hands.
No. And that was a different. That was the good tweet.
Oh, okay. Replied to it. Okay.
So I'm hoping that was like a.
You confused me then.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, good. Like I said, I'm not ready to press the panic button on this one. Let's let practice start, and then if it's still an issue, which Niedermeyer says it won't be, and I have no reason not to trust the Moose, then maybe though we can have this conversation. But I really do think this is just kind of a perfect storm of things that don't matter, making it look like something matters. I mean, he had to have been aware that by making this decision, he was going to be away from his family for an extended period of time.
Well, we don't even know that.
That's what I'm saying.
Necessarily homesick. I mean,
well, I don't know the exact term homesick. What that I've never felt that, so I don't know exactly what that means. I'm sure he misses his family though. That's natural. Sure. Again, like this isn't a situation where he doesn't come from a good family situation. He has a very close family. I mean, remember what he said when he committed. I got to thank my Toa Toa clan, and he's got like 20 people, all friends and family, right behind him. It's a support group, and now he's pretty far away from that group. So there's obvious. I mean, obviously he's going to miss his family, but I don't know that this has any. You know, everything that he said and or tweeted and or liked. I don't know that this paints a picture of I'm unhappy and I'm considering a transfer. Him liking the portal tweet is kind of weird, but yeah, it could just be a, oh yeah, I know that guy back home, ha ha ha, I'll like his tweet, just shut up, quit bothering me. He's evolved for life, you know. For life. Practice starts, everything will be fine.
You came at me, tried to say I was like the curse or something, but I was,
well, you kind of,
when people asked us, like, who do you think might could step up who we're not talking about last year, I went with the freshman cornerbacks and who were really the most pleasant surprise on the football team, the freshman cornerbacks. So if I go 2 for 2 this year and Henry Toa Toa is in the lineup, like, that'd be great. Now, the odds of that are maybe not that high, but that's what's best for Tennessee. So
Nate,
I don't know why
picking
you're
the highest rated freshman each year to have an impact is not like Nostradamus. I mean, like, come on, man. Like, you pick Bryce Thompson, who I think at the time, J.J. Peterson hadn't been cleared, was our highest-rated recruit. And Alante Taylor had already balled out in spring.
Thompson didn't even come in with the class, though. You don't want to talk about a late start.
I know, but he was still the highest-graded player. And he was here before summer camp started, unlike J.J. Peterson. I'm just saying, like, I mean, you got it. But, I mean, you took the two highest-rated guys, one of which who had already gone through spring ball and dominated. I'll pat you on the back for it, but I'm stopping there, so don't ask for more. This guy wanted to transfer. Way to go.
I thought you weren't freaking out about it.
He wants to transfer,
but you're not.
No, I'm saying that because of you. I'm trying to downplay.
I got you.
That. His high school coach said he's not leaving.
Not leaving.
His dad probably won't let him leave. Might move to Knoxville, though. It's not a big deal.
Whatever it takes.
And yeah. Nate Hodges thinks the best freshman we signed last year will be the best impact freshman. Okay. I got it.
Well, he'd be
I got it loud and clear.
It'd be pretty rare for a guy
cool.
to come in.
Yeah.
You know, not being early and early.
I'm going to go with Wanya Morris playing a lot at tackle. That's what I'm going to go with.
You could have.
I am.
All right.
I think he's going to get significant playing time.
There you go.
That's you picking Alante Taylor. Oh, the guy balled out in spring? Was in the starting lineup?
He was still getting moved to wide receiver.
No, he did halftime, and then they knew he was going to be a corner, but he wanted to play wide receiver, so they pacified him a little bit. And now he's going to be a first-round pick.
I love this revisionist history, because you were agreeing with me back then, and now it's like...
No, I was agreeing with you until you tried to take all this credit for picking good players to be good players.
I mean, guys pick a hype machine guy every year and completely blow it, so you know,
not
you
this show
right, you better
not this show.
Yeah, that's right.
We're always right.
Not this show.
We don't need victory laps except when we're crazy right, which is fairly often. Like the time I said Zion was not going to score a point against North Carolina and he didn't score a single point. I mean, that it was Zion Williamson. He didn't score a point. I mean, that was genius. Yeah, he got hurt, but that was still a great call by me. I didn't know he was gonna get hurt. Nostradamus. Do I know the future, or does what I say become the future?
Talk about
10-2.
Back patting. Grief.
No, I was just saying that's one you go to town on. I didn't know anything about that game. I just said Zion's not going to score. You saying that the two best players Tennessee signed are going to be good. I mean, come on. Just doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that those guys might have a chance of being pretty good. Bryce Thompson was a very pleasant surprise, though. I really hope they let him return punts. That'd be awesome. Play Henry T both ways, man. Let him study more. Could he play fullback? Probably be a pretty good fullback, don't you think?
We still using a fullback this year, Jim
Chandler? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, if you maybe we could run like the Henry T package. The wild.
I thought we were going to do that with Crouch.
The wild Henry. You know, just put him back in the shotgun, direct snap. Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with Crouch, too.
He played a lot of running back.
He did. He was really good, too. Just saying. I'm not worried about the Henry T stuff.
Darnell Wright was the highest rated recruit, by the way. And Wanya Morris was.
Okay, well, I'll pick those two.
All right.
See how easy that was?
Yeah, that would be an easier limb to go out on. They're already penciled in. Toa's homesick and transferring. I'd say I'm out there now.
It'd be the same limb. Left and right corner, left and right tackle.
Hmm.
Yeah, two guys, same position. You're almost guaranteed to hit on at least one. You just hedged your bet. I'm on to you, man. Like, you're not getting away.
I look at the opposite. I got them both right.
I don't think one and two are opposite. I don't think that's how it works. Hmm. Just saying. Coach says he's not leaving. He's not leaving. Niedermeyer says he's not leaving. He's not leaving.
We trust Moose, right? I mean, he knows these guys. That's his big thing.
I mean, yeah, Moose was like he's the lead like recruiter for this guy. So he'll make it right. He'll get whatever we need. I mean, yeah, we can't drive to God knows where and pick up kids, but we could probably slide some cash into the bank account and make sure they can pay for flights. That's something the NCAA should look at. They should look at, you know, making sure parents can make a game or two a season on the university's dime. IMO, JMO.
What's up with Greg Emerson? He was rated third highest last year.
Well, he broke his ankle at the opening, and is, you know, he's clawing his way back. He's a big guy. It takes a long time for big guys to get their ankle.
That was a serious question. I don't know. Like,
I'm being serious. I'm telling you what happened. He broke his ankle, and it's taken some time to get it back in order.
All right, we'll come back. We'll kick off number two.
He's one of my sleeper picks.
Okay, sounds good. Noted, Billy. Write that
down. Put it on the ledger.
All right, we'll come back. Kick off hour two next.